G'day, guys. How are you going?
Well, very well, thanks, Matthew. And given that we haven't heard the state government's position on it, you know, they obviously took submissions through Parks Victoria, not exactly sure why you're making your position clear.
Because I think it's important to give some clarity to the golf club and all the people who use it that we believe that it shouldn't be cut back to nine holes. In fact, the current draft structure plan would take 75% of that whole golf course away from what it is now, and I don't think that's going to work. I mean, you've got a lot of people, particularly in 65 and above, who are moving in and around that whole area. So, you know, they're not out playing touch footy. A lot of them are playing golf.
But if the state government comes out and says, no, well, we're happy to keep it at 18 holes, then what's the point of your position?
Well, that's the entire reason for having a position because, you know, if sometimes no one expresses a point of view, then these things get put through without any opposition. People throw their hands up and say, how'd that happen? And no one raised an eyebrow.
That position will be stated eventually. I mean, they're just going through the correct process, I would have thought, to make that decision.
Well, no, mate, not at all. In fact, the correct process is that they go out and consult everyone on a structure plan. You know, I was the planning minister, so I know how structure plan processes work. And what you've got to do is consult everyone properly, and then you have a point of view and you tell people about it. You don't let it sit after a state election and then, you know, kind of do it after the election when people would have known what was going to happen rather than questioning it. The whole point of me going out and saying today at the club our position is to, if elected, we will keep it as 18 holes, is so everyone knows where you stand. You know, in politics, people want to know where you stand. Well, that's where I stand.
So how would you see further improvement made at Albert Park? If you're going to keep the 18 holes there, and actually, for what it's worth, I'm actually support it remains at 18 holes, but are you happy with the current use of Albert Park?
Well, that's why you've got to consult some of the other users, like the ovals on the other side of the ground, and whether or not they might need lighting, for instance, so you can get better use out of them. So it's not just about looking at the land value or the land component. It's also about the use of those existing sporting fields. And that's why on a proper structure plan, when you go back and consult everyone in it, you actually will get a better outcome and you might actually get some lights there so we can use all of those kind of sporting fields after hours as well.
What's the time frame, your understanding, Matthew Guy, joining as opposition leader for Albert Park Golf Course? What do you think the time frame is before a decision is made?
Well, the government haven't put any time frame on it, and that's what I said is concerning. I mean, you can't threaten the life of a golf course and then say, well, you know, we're not sure we'll get back to you in 2 months or 2 years. You've got to have certainty. I can't invest in the club otherwise. I can't do anything in the club. I mean, there's no certainty. So I think giving certainty as to any structure plan change will not see the club reduced from 18 holes down to 9, and it may see some of the other sporting fields having things such as lights and better facilities. That means people can plan in advance, and I think that's the kind of certainty people want from that structure plan process.
I think one of the uses that is being mooted, if in fact it is reduced to 9 holes or whatever, was that there would be more sort of family areas within the around the Albert Park Lake. If that's not going to happen under your plan, where can you see those sorts of facilities being implemented?
Well, it's one of the biggest inland parks in Australia, in fact the biggest, so there's plenty of places where we can look at putting family-friendly facilities, particularly the southern end of the park, up to the over towards Port Melbourne as well. There are plenty of places we can do that. We don't need to chop off 9 holes of an 18-hole golf course and take a full 75% of the golf club's land component away simply to achieve a playground and some barbecue facilities. They're important, but they don't need to be done at the expense of the club.
Isn't that southern end of the Albert Park complex? That's where all the ovals are that South Melbourne districts and all sorts of sporting clubs are used. I think that's where the pits are for the Australian Formula One Grand Prix, which is also used for other sports outside of the Grand Prix time. So where would you see those clubs that use all of those ovals, which are used all the time, where would you see them relocated to?
Well, that's why a structure plan process, when it's done by talking to everyone, you'll get the best answer for that. I mean, that's why you'd go back and have that process, put an end date on it, say 2 months, talk to every club, talk to everyone in it, give certainty about what you want to have with the golf club, and then you'll get that answer. But, you know, if it kind of hypothetically moots the loss of the club and then says, oh, well, you know, we can put barbecues in it, well, let's be frank, you don't need, if we're putting in family-friendly space, and I've got little kids, so I support that. That doesn't need to be the size of 9 holes of a golf course. That's quite a large space.
Matthew, appreciate giving us your thoughts as the opposition leader for keeping the 18 holes at the Albert Park Golf Course. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thanks again for your time.